Hey everyone, and welcome back to Your Money Life podcast. We are on episode, what episode are we on? 211, episode 211 of the podcast. Before we get into the episode, make sure wherever you're listening, you like, subscribe, 5-star rate and review the podcast. If you're watching on YouTube, hit the notification bell as well as subscribe and comment. We have a lot of news to get into today. There was a lot going on. Pretty much good amount of news and a good amount of things for us to discuss. First and foremost, we'll get with the bad news first out of the way. Morgan Stanley, of course, is laying off hundreds. They said Morgan Stanley is reducing the size of its most important teams. The investment bank tends to let go of hundreds of staff from its wealth management division this week, according to several anonymous reports. The layoffs will affect roughly 1% of the unit's 40,000 employees and come as part of the cost-cutting push. The new CEO, Ted Pick, who took the reins from James Gorman on January 1st. So he's having these cost-cutting restructuring measures, and he's going to slim down the wealth management business. And the wealth management generates half of Morgan Stanley's revenue, which I didn't know. That's a lot. Half of Morgan Stanley's revenue is generated from wealth management. And then, yeah, layoffs happen to be a part of co corporate culture, and people forgot about that, right? Like in 2020, 2021, you couldn't not get a job if you just like put in a resume, you were hired, or you just even sniffed at a recruiter. You sneezed at a recruiter. They're like, "Hey, want a new job?" And that's changed now. It's demand is slowing down. The economy is slowing down. And companies are saying we are way too bloated. We overhired. We overleveraged. We overdid a lot of things, and now we have to cut back when demand slows down, so that our profits aren't taking a huge, huge hit, and shareholders aren't going to start selling our stock. So that's pretty much the life cycle of business. And so yeah, Morgan Stanley is making those moves. Cisco, I just talked about Cisco on CNBC yesterday. They're also making similar moves. So you're seeing that across the board. And speaking of just the market in general, let's dive into what's going on so far today when it comes to the market. You're gonna see if we go into it here. So far, it's a quiet day in the market. But we are seeing a little bit of news when it comes to retail sales, as well as when it comes to inflation, the inflation front we talked about. So far, the market's just about to open. It's a flat to a little bit up. Yesterday was a little bit of recovery from the pullback that we saw on Tuesday. That would have been when we saw inflation numbers come out that weren't showing, things got super better, much better year over year. So that's probably, that rebound was interesting to see. So we had a rebound yesterday, if you listen to this on Thursday, but it didn't erase all the losses that we saw from Tuesday's sell-off. So it was a hotter than expected inflation report, meaning, it's still showing that we have a lot of stuff and work to do on the inflation front, and that there's still something that we're still struggling with. So economic activity still may be slowed, and the Fed's policy still may have to be an effect of keeping rates higher for longer. So pretty much the Fed, it's pretty much the market got a slap in the face of reality when those new inflation numbers came out, showing that we didn't get below 3% when it comes year over year. And then on a month over month basis, we're still higher than expected on the inflation front. So those are the big items that when it comes to inflation. If you look at retail sale numbers that just came out, the retail sale numbers tumbled 0.8% in January. So almost a percent tumble in January retail sales. Again, this is showing what's going on with economic activity? So advanced retail sales declined 0.8% in January. It was down from 0.4% gain in December, and worse than the estimated drop of 0.3%. So of course we have the holiday crazy spend time in December. Then January, people are probably taking a little bit of a breather, not spending as much, but people estimates for the economists were a little bit less of a drop, but it came in a lot more. Initial claims for unemployment insurance totaled 212,000 for the week ended February 10th. That's a decline of 8,000 from the previous week. So again, we're still seeing mixed bag of data from the economy and on the consumer, right? So retail sales fell, but the initial jobless claims totaled a little bit less than expected. So it's mixed data. It's saying the consumer is still decently strong. Unemployment's still sitting under 4%. So again, the feds have to take in all this data and decide what to do with it, and we'll see where it goes. But if you're looking at the market itself, let's pull out a little chart and show where we are trending. We're taking a look. This past week wasn't a bad week. I'm looking at the 5-day chart. It was about, half a percent up for the market on the Nasdaq. And if you look at it from the standpoint of the Dow, 0.5% down, and then the S&P 500 on a 5-day tracking, 0.25% up. So pretty much flat. We had the big pullback on Tuesday, and then we've had a little bit of recovery. And today we're about flat. So nothing crazy over the past 5 days. But again, it's a signaling that if you pull that out further, a year or so, it's showing pretty strong gains in the market, right? And speaking of strong gains, Nvidia, which is a company that the stock price is going kind of bonkers recently. This stock has now surpassed Alphabet as the third largest company by market cap. So Nvidia continues to march higher to top Alphabet a day after surpassing Amazon. So it passed Alphabet and Amazon. It closed 2.5% up on Wednesday, giving it a market value of 1.83 trillion, just ahead of Alphabet's 1.82 trillion. So Nvidia is having a big push just based on this AI boom. They're one of the bigger beneficiaries of AI chips, AI boom, AI data centers, and really artificial intelligence applications are really pushing a lot of tech stocks forward. But AI, Nvidia is one of the ones that's seen the craziest boom when it comes to its stock price just based on the AI hype. I don't know how much they've implemented it into the actual earnings so far, but they're seeing a lot of demand, I think, from companies to create AI sort of chips and different things. And so it's now the fourth most valuable company based on market cap. And so Nvidia is flying. Now it's flying a little bit too hot if you ask me. Now I'm sure because of the hype, a lot of people that are uninformed are going to start diving in. Yeah, maybe it'll go higher from here. But again, I think it's the valuations right now are crazy when it comes to Nvidia. Speaking of valuations, Berkshire Warren Buffett is selling off shares of Apple. He owns a lot of Apple. I think it was his biggest holding in his portfolio. He sold off 10 million shares. Probably said, "Hey, I want to profit take a little bit." He's been holding Apple. He was late to the game of Apple. I think he only jumped into Apple somewhere around 2016-ish, right? And he still holds a 5.9% stake in the tech giant, worth about 167 billion. And all Berkshire's holdings make up nearly half of the company's massive stock. Berkshire's Apple holdings make up nearly half of the company's massive stock portfolio. So he sold off a little bit of Apple. Probably going to diversify a little bit because he's heavily invested in Apple, 5.9% stake in the Apple giant worth 167 billion even after these sales. Apple sales have more than tripled since the end of 2018. But people want to take profits and do different things and move and reallocate. That's probably what I see here. But if you look at Berkshire's Hathaway's transactions Q4 2023. They went in a little bit higher on some of their oil, and it looks like they sold some of their tech here. But they're always making moves, and people are always tracking some of these moves just to see what the hedge fund is doing. I thought this was an interesting story. Colorado is suing to stop Kroger merger. So Colorado's attorney general has filed a lawsuit aiming at blocking a $24.6 billion merger of supermarket giants Kroger and Albertsons, saying it would decrease competition and limit access to foods. It follows a similar challenge led by Washington State last month. The two companies had already decided to extend their timeline to close the deal from early 2024 to late summer. Oh, interesting. So there, Colorado's attorney general, you don't see this much, a state attorney general popping in to stop a M&A transaction of two grocers, pretty much saying it's going to limit competition, hurt consumers. And they're taking a step that, you usually see the other governments, the federal governments take and step in to close, to stop these mergers. But the Colorado state general is do attorney general is doing so probably because I've been to Colorado a couple of times. It's probably because their main grocers are those two. And so it's just going to leave no competition. They could jack up prices. They could close stores, they could do things that could hurt consumers. And so they're taking a stand. I think that's quite interesting. I'm going to watch that closely to see how that ends up. More news. I don't know if you guys saw it, but the Super Bowl, the most watched Super Bowl by ratings for a while. They say that every year and it makes sense. They're probably going to get more people every year. You got Taylor Swift, you have Usher, you have Patrick Mahomes, the greatest quarterback we have right now. So 123 million viewers, Super Bowl had, Super Bowl 58 was the most watched television show in history. And of course, remember, I said Kansas City. You have it on record. I said Kansas City the prior week, and guess what happened? Kansas City. I said it and it happened. CBS Sports said that figure includes viewers across all platforms and was up 7% from last year's 115 million average viewers. The halftime show itself, with my favorite artist that we saw, was a great, great halftime show. You saw Usher and Alicia Keys, Ludacris, Jermaine Dupri. The commercials were pretty good this year too. Decent. I don't remember that many of them, but we do remember all of us saw Temu. There was a story. Temu must have spent $21 million doing commercials because they did what, three or four ads. So Temu splurged an estimated. They said they estimated $1.7 billion on advertising last year. That's across all platforms last year, but. It's pronounced Temu. They were in six Super Bowl ads. Each 30-second spot cost $7 million. So Temu did much more than 21 million in ads. If they were in seven or six Super Bowl ads, did not know that. I saw three or four, but you had the little jingle stuck in your head. Now they're going to grow in popularity. This is a competitor to Amazon. They have a lot of monthly active users now. They're low price, low cost, low quality goods, but they get it to you in whatever time, maybe not as fast as Amazon, but people are starting to like it. And they're advertising like crazy to get in front of eyeballs, to get people to their product and to get people on their platform. So it's a competitor to Amazon, Asian-based Chinese e-com giants that has exploded in popularity. Yeah, the Chinese company seems to explode in popularity pretty quickly. You had TikTok that grew really, really fast. You have Temu growing really, really fast. I don't know how they do it, but it is exploding in popularity across the board there. So there was a lot more. Penn launch, Penn Entertainment launched ESPN Sportsbook in New York, which is historically a hard state to launch a sports book because the government takes 50% revenue. So interesting there. What else did we have? It was an interesting week. Crypto making a comeback again. We've talked about cryptocurrency and holding and doing things of that nature. Now you're seeing crypto top 1 trillion market cap again, and Bitcoin sitting around 52K. I was a big proponent of holding and maybe doing moderate buying at the lows, because again, it's a long-term game. We invest for the longer term when we invest, or when I invest for my clients or for myself. And so you're seeing how that comes to fruition when a lot of people try to give up. Yeah, there was a lot of people in the peanut gallery during 2022. During any bear market, that they're blaming the market, blaming everyone but themselves for not understanding how the market works, and how long-term investing works. Saying they're going to give up on the market, or what's going on. Like, you guys, again, your peanut gallery folks that don't understand, having conviction or long-term, any long-term conviction on anything that you do, right? It's always short-term, quick, trying to find a quick buck, which again is not the way the world works. It's karmic retribution. Always means that people that work hard, have high conviction, see a bigger picture, see a long-term path, are the ones that have the biggest reward in the end, the outsized reward. And that's the same way it happens to the market, folks, literally the same way. So yeah, keep that in mind. And Mark Zuckerberg, he came out with a video which was really interesting. He doesn't do this similar really often, but it was taking shots at Apple Vision Pro. So I've done a lot of research like watching YouTube videos on Apple Vision Pro, because I'm actually really interested in getting one. And I didn't know the Meta. I knew about Meta Quest, but Meta Quest, Apple Vision Pro came out, has a high price tag, 4K or something of that nature. Meta Quest is like, what, $1,000, they said? And it does similar things. But Apple Vision Pro is getting an incredible lot of hype because it's an Apple product and everyone loves an Apple product. I'm fairly certain it's going to be popular, like iPads and AirPods, in the next few years, because everyone's going to have one. So I'm figuring out which one I want to get. I'm going to try them both. But they are, Mark Zuckerberg came out with a video and saying he's surprised that there's so much fanfare for the Apple Vision Pro. And he explained the features of the Quest that could do everything else, and it's better in a lot of the features, and it costs $3,000 less. He's like, why does everyone like Apple? He's pretty much, hating, which I understand. He doesn't want Apple to have another hardware device that is gonna just like blow his hardware device out of the water. Remember, he tried to do a Facebook phone, never worked. He's tried multiple things. He had the Meta Quest, which he thought was a much superior headset. Doesn't take off. The Apple Vision Pro comes out, and everybody's have fanfare. Every YouTube video, everything is about the Apple Vision Pro. And he's like, what is going on? Why can't I get a hardware device that is on people's minds that they actually want? Understandable. Me and you both, Zuckerberg, we're trying to figure it out. We are trying to figure it out. Let's jump into questions of the week. There was a lot of good ones, a lot of good ones. So we'll dive into these questions of the day and of the week. So what are the top five gifts consumers plan to give Valentine's Day? Happy Valentine's Day to everyone out there. Top five, I'm going to say it's flowers, candy, stuffed animal. Five. Massage, spa certificate, a dinner date, candy, got it. Greeting cards, oh yeah, of course. Flowers, yep. An evening out, got that. Jewelry. Okay, I should have had jewelry on there. Those are the top five. So make sure you get your loved ones something if you have not already. Still have time. Still have time. They're going to be on sale now, I suppose. I already got mine, so don't worry. Everybody gets yours. Make sure you do it quickly. Question of the day and the week. Number two, how much did Tiger Woods earn over 27 years of his contract, of his contracts with Nike, folks? So Tiger Woods was with Nike for 27 years. He's recently, if you didn't know, did not extend his contract with Nike. He's going with another brand. I'm forgetting the name of the brand, to be honest. But yeah, it's weird. Tiger is synonymous with Nike Golf for many years. And Nike's like shutting down their golf division because it was really just Tiger Woods. So how much did he earn over the time? 660 million. He was paid out 660 million over his 27 years of his contracts with the Nike. Six almost $1 billion, a little bit short of it, but 660 million for their partnership and his their endorsement. He did sign a 5-year 40 million deal with Nike in 1996, and a 5-year 100 million contract in 2021. And then subsequently another one in 2013. So he's been with Nike for a while. They couldn't get the deal done this time. He's over to another place, and he's living well. That's crazy. Next question is what percent of people consider themselves to be conscious consumers? Consider themselves to be conscious. Conscious meaning like they think about it. They're thoughtful before they make decisions when it comes to spending. I would say it's over 50%, but I don't believe it's a true number, right? Yep, 58% people believe that they are. I think the people that are le less, but 58% say they're a conscious consumer. How do they think? They think about the impact of their decisions on a personal finance level before they make a purchasing decision. 4 in 10 millennials have prioritized shopping with Black and personal color owned businesses over the past year. That's an interesting tidbit to think about. So those are the numbers, ladies and gentlemen, and those are the questions of the week. Once again, make sure you share, pass this along with your family, friends, because we do this every week. And guess what? We're going to be right back here next week talking to you.